Today on Real Radio.
The resurrection doctrine is the absolute foremost teaching and preaching issue of the church today. And without a church preaching the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of Christ, in my opinion, it's not a church. What are we talking about?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series taken from the part of chapter 15 where Paul not only defends the resurrection, but tells us why the resurrection must be accepted as absolute fact. Now, anyone who says he's a believer but doesn't believe and really adhere to and proclaim this historic event, well, quite simply put, isn't really a true believer. It's one of the key tenets of our faith, and if we don't accept it, well, we're wasting our time and energy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a series called What Are You Talking About?
And Paul, in his beautiful Jewishness, have you ever seen Jews talk? Have you ever seen Israelis talk? I love it. I go there at least once a year, and if I'm not there, then they're visiting here, and I love it. I think because I'm Portuguese, I can't talk without my hands. If you want to shut me up, then just cuff my hands. I can't talk without my hands moving. But when you get a Jewish guy talking about what he knows and what he believes, you can totally disagree, but they are so persuasive that you begin to think, you know what? I don't believe a word in what he's saying, but I'm just going to keep listening to him say it because this is exciting stuff. There's nothing, I told you before that when you see two of them talking, it looks like they're going to beat each other up on the street. And then you talk to your friend, are you guys okay, man? What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. He was just inviting me for dinner tonight. Looked like they're going to kill each other. It's beautiful. It's really exciting stuff. Mark this down as we get into our study. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. At the time of death, I mentioned it a moment ago, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, we're talking resurrection. And what are we talking about when we say resurrection? The Bible says, so we are always confident, only the believer, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We're talking resurrection. At the moment of the rapture, I alluded to it a moment ago. Here's the verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, resurrection, even so God will bring with him those who've died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, those living at the moment of Christ's atmospheric appearance in the air, will by no means precede those who have died. We will not go up before them. They get to go up first. Verse 16, for the Lord himself, thank you, Jesus, will descend from heaven with the shout. He's going to shout. With the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then, and the word implies in an instant, not 25 years later, boom, what was that? And then up you go. The scripture says, then we who are alive and remain shall be harpazo, violently snatched from the earth. The word means violently, quickly pulled away, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And all God's people said, amen. That is awesome. If that happened today, know this. Those who have died in Jesus would come out of the ground nanoseconds before you and I would be translated into the presence of the atmosphere with the Lord and them. That is awesome. I'm living for that, by the way. At the moment of the rapture, 1 Corinthians 15, are you taking notes? This is all introduction. You need this. At the moment of the rapture, 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." We can't get there in this molecular structure. We've got to be changed. Resurrection, hold, keep looking at the screens. Resurrection takes your body and reconfigures its molecular structure. It's you being resurrected, but in a new, can I say this? It's a little bit of damage to the actuality of it, but imagine arranging the numbers differently and it changes the number layout or the paint job or the chemical structure or the sequence. It's the same, but it's changed. Just like the caterpillar that goes up your wall and goes in that chrysalis, it's the same thing. Reconstructed and he flies away. Flesh and blood, as you and I are, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed. It's a great verse for the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Anyway, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, there's two trumpets. There's the trumpet that draws Israel together, and then the second trumpet, which is the last trumpet, it draws the church together. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be metamorpho. We shall be changed. How exciting is this? Listen, we cannot avoid the argument presented to us regarding the resurrection. You must either deny the resurrection, disprove the resurrection, or reject the resurrection. But you cannot avoid it. I want to read you this quote. And by the way, just because somebody might say this morning, I agree with that quote, doesn't help you. Quote, "I don't believe in the Bible, so to me, I mean, Jesus Christ wasn't or isn't an actual person," close quote. You think that gets you off the hook? Let me read that to you again. "I don't believe in the Bible, so to me, I mean, Jesus Christ wasn't or isn't an actual person." If you today say, "I don't believe in Jesus or the Bible or resurrection or eternal life or heaven or hell because of any one of those things, I choose not to. But I do not believe," for example, somebody say, "I don't believe in the Bible, and so I don't believe in Jesus." Do you think you're off the hook? Really? That's amazing. Incredible, shallow arguing. You're going to risk your entire existence and meaning of life based upon your choosing that you don't believe in the Bible or fill in the blank. "I don't believe in Jesus." You got to start somewhere. "I don't believe in God, so I don't believe in the Bible, so I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the resurrection." None of those things are true. They're all a myth. You've got to start somewhere in your argument, and just because you hold that view, there must be profound evidence to back up your position. Are you with me? You say, "Man, you're being kind of hard this morning, aren't you?" I'm trying to be like Paul. Paul is saying, "Doggone it, bring on, let's fight. Come on, bring it on, bring it." Paul is saying, "Bring it. And let's argue." He's so sure. He's so certain of what he believes. Why? Why is he so sure? Point number one, what are you talking about when we say that Christianity's relevance is anchored to Jesus' resurrection? You Christians say that Christianity is absolutely anchored to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. The resurrection doctrine is the absolute foremost teaching and preaching issue of the church today. And without a church preaching the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of Christ, in my opinion, it's not a church. What are we talking about? Number one is this: opposition can only strengthen the argument. Christian, I am pumped. Why? Look at verse 12. "Now, if Christ is preached," everybody, was Christ being preached? The answer is yes. "That he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you," will you circle those three words, "some among you," because they're among us, "say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Paul starts his amazing courtroom argument before the hearts and the minds of men. Christ is preached as being resurrected. How is it then that some disagree? In this world, my Christian friend, people will disagree with us. Listen, True story. Lisa called me one day from her office at State Farm Insurance back in 1979. She called me at work and she was crying. We were just married. Very upset. I said, "What's wrong?" Now, you know how God has opposites attract one another? Those of you who are married, you know what I'm talking about? Keep that in mind when I tell you the story. She's saying, "I just shared the Lord with somebody at break, and they said I was a fool, and they said I didn't know what I was talking about, and they said they would never believe in God." And I said, "What are you crying about?" "I just told you why." "No," I said, "no, why are you crying? I don't get it." She said, "I just got called a fool, and the person I just shared the gospel with doesn't believe it." I said, "Sweetie, I'm still missing the reason why you are emotionally engaged in this thing right now. That they God's the one crying. And they didn't reject you. They rejected him. You gave them the gospel. They rejected it." My friends, when we give the gospel, when we share it, we're so fearful of getting to the point of preaching Christ crucified because we're afraid that the story, the event, the message is so fantastic, people won't believe in it. Listen, there's no way they're going to get to heaven without believing in that message. And listen, don't shy away from the direct message of the preaching of the cross and the preaching of Christ, because it is a God-ordained, God-engineered, empowered truth that you never have to apologize for. And listen, you may make that statement. I may be making that statement right now, and 50 people believe it, and 100 they don't. That's not for me to tamper with. It's for me to pray for them. But just because someone resists, it strengthens the argument, my friends. I want to employ or bring to your ears Charles Spurgeon's advice. He says when we're sharing, when we're witnessing, when we're living as Christians, we need to be as harmless as doves, but we need to have the skin of a rhino. Those are wise words. Opposition can only strengthen the argument. Christ is preached, but some will always say that they do not believe or there is no resurrection of the dead. And then you ask them, why? Why do you not believe in the resurrection of the dead? Let them talk. Let them talk. Just let them go. I'll bring up some of their arguments in our study, but let them go. Let them talk. Listen to them. Until they're all tired. Let them turn blue in the face. Let them run out of words. Hand them a bottle of water so they'll keep talking if they need to. Just keep going. Bring forth your argument. Why? Isaiah 1:18 says, God says, bring your argument, bring it on. Come, let us reason together, God says. And so, Christian, I want you to be thinking like that from this moment on. Engage the non-believer. Engage those who deny that there's a resurrection. Why? Because you have the eternal, never tiring, always powerful, never returning void word of God behind the argument. Why? Because your argument is true. Well, it sounds silly to me. It's true. Dead people stay dead. Resurrection doctrine, true. I've never seen anybody rise from the dead, so it must be false. Jesus has risen from the dead. Others have risen from the dead. It is gospel truth. Stay at it. Stay at it. Stay at it. Christianity claims something that no other religion can or does, that it's the founder of Christianity who traveled from one dimension, heaven, to another, earth, to yet another, the Bible says, death, and back. Do you know anybody like that? That's our message. The preaching of the gospel should be based upon facts, and it can be. God will not be a part of any lie. So us coming from the angle and from the direction and from the foundation of what the Bible says is true. We know it's true, but yet the person on the opposite side of the table doesn't believe in the Bible, doesn't believe it's true. Then who wins this argument? My friend, keep this in mind. Falsehood, intentional or unintentional falsehood, imagine it being in a marathon. Bang! The runners go. falsehood, non-truth, will always be exhausted and never make it to the end. It may take 28 miles, it may take 28 years, it may take a lifetime. Falsehood never makes it to the end. The truth, Paul the Apostle said, having done all to stand, what? Stand therefore. The truth stands like this. The truth doesn't have to run. It just stands there. And falsehood is all exhausted and then falls over dead of a heart attack because it's false. And the truth is abiding. The truth is eternal. It will never change. And I want you to keep that in mind because the preaching of the gospel is supernaturally empowered and God has given us the facts to back it up. You don't have to go to the tomb, though the tomb is empty. You don't have to go to other issues that someone may try to entrap you on. Well, I've never seen a document signed by Jesus. You don't have to go there. If you're here today or if you're listening and you say, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Okay, the Bible says Jesus Christ was preached having been resurrected from the dead. Let's just ask you this. Do you believe that people went around preaching Jesus Christ? Listen, I don't care who you are today. I don't care how liberal in your thinking or atheistic or immoral you might be or godless you might be, you're not stupid. You will have to agree that there was an actual historical figure, Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem. How do we know? Because the Roman records and the Jewish historians, in fact, one of the most famous non-believer historian, Flavius Josephus of the day, confirms all this stuff. Jesus was a historical figure. You might say, well, that's all that he was. Why? You want him to be only that, don't you? But if you examine the evidence, if you start somewhere, and let's start right there, that Jesus was a historical figure who actually lived. In fact, you know that every time you sign a check or type in the date. You ever think about that? When you type in the date, you're confessing Jesus every time you type a date down. What year is this? It's only this year because of one name. Amen. So let's start somewhere. If the evidence is overwhelming that Jesus existed, forget the definition of who or what he was. You've got to start somewhere. And from that moment on, whatever your conclusions are, listen, if they are apart from what the Bible says, it's because you have taken an emotional approach to the data and not a pure scientific approach to the data. The evidence is overwhelming. If Jesus was a historical figure, then you must begin now to entertain the claims of the resurrection, among others. Denying it didn't happen doesn't make it so. It's very important. In 1 Peter 3:15, the Bible says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Church, look, that is written to every Christian. Are you a Christian? It's written to us. We got to give an answer. Secondly, it's this. Opposition can only steal, S-T-E-E-L, the investigation. What do I mean? That whenever someone launches an investigation, I'm going to find out who the actual Jesus was. I'm going to examine if the Bible can be trusted. I'm going to see if what the Bible says and what science says are in unison. I'm going to launch an investigation. The zeal behind Paul is the zeal that should be behind you, that you can say, bring it on. Let's do the investigation. Why? Because, in fact, listen to this. I saw on a program it's called Modern Marvels. Cool program. They examine stuff or build stuff or analyze stuff. And they took this new special hybrid radar, type of x-ray, type of MRI thing, and they shoot it at a building or a bridge, and they're able to tell how strong it is or how weak it is and how much longer it can be a bridge before they have to tear it down and build a new bridge in its place. It reads behind all the stuff and gets down deep inside. Imagine if you took that ray gun and pointed it at the person of Jesus or the Bible. Guess what you find out? You find out the truth. Never today, ever again, in our families, with our friends, on our campuses, let someone say, oh, you can't believe in the Bible. You pull out your ray gun and you shoot them with it. And you make them tell you why. If you have a professor in school that says, you can't believe the Bible's full of myths, stand up. Yeah. You say, Pastor, they'll fail me. I would rather be failed in that class for the truth than letting a falsehood pollute the hearts and minds of others. I'd stand up and say, excuse me, but there's a whole lot of other people for the last about 5,000 years, and the number's only increasing, that completely disagree with your statement, that are much more educated than you are. Isaac Newton believed in the inerrancy of Scripture. Think of that. Isaac Newton wrote commentaries on the Bible. You're not going to tell me that my college professor is smarter than Sir Isaac Newton. You see, stand. Hey, you might get an F in class, but you get an A in heaven. I'd rather have a degree in heaven. The next thing is this. As we steal the mind, when the verse 13 says, but if there is no resurrection from the dead, notice this, circle the words, if there is no. This is that argument of passion that Paul is saying, all right. He argues from a negative. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Why does he say this? Because church, listen, Paul is absolutely beyond convinced that Christ is risen from the dead. Thus he can say, oh, please hear me. Thus, he can argue like this because he's so sure. And you might say, well, Jack, if I would have seen Jesus appear in the atmosphere riding on a donkey on the way to Damascus and encounter Christ, then I'd be sure like that too. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. You may not have met Jesus on the road to Damascus riding on a donkey. My question is, have you met Jesus at all in any condition?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a look at the part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul not only defends the resurrection, but gives the reasons why the resurrection must be accepted as absolute fact by the believer, despite how far-fetched it may be to the unbeliever. The title of this series, quite simply, What Are You Talking About? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter journey through 1 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, tonight you can catch our television program. We hope you'll do that because we really think you're going to like it. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It airs Monday evenings at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Sit down at the computer and just type in hischannel.com. Now, our program features Pastor Jack dealing with a whole bunch of topics, things that are in the news, and how to see them with a scriptural worldview. Domestic policies, what's happening here in the U.S., and how the believer is to handle those things biblically. International developments around the world, including the persecuted church, Israel, and Islam. And, of course, topical studies from the scripture and a whole lot more. Now, sometimes you'll see Pastor Jack giving a study. Other times you'll see him interviewing a special guest. It's a great program. Pastor Jack invites you and your friends to watch Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Just visit hischannel.com Monday nights at 7 o'clock and then click on Live TV Stream for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, if for some reason you're unable to catch Real Life with Jack Hibbs at its normally scheduled time, that's the beauty of hischannel.com. Just click on Video On Demand right there at the top of the page and watch recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.